WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
We've done a lot of reporting about sickness and disease these past couple of years. COVID-19, the different COVID variants, monkeypox, now West Nile virus. Public health officials in North Carolina say they are seeing cases of West Nile right now. We're asking, how do you contract the virus? And what should we do if we think we have it?
Unfortunately, there's no current vaccines. The doctors are very good at reducing the inflammation.
This is WBTV's Good Question. We are joined now by Mike Doyle, state public health entomologist here in North Carolina. Mike, thank you so much for being here.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Wanted to start general and broad. How do you describe West Nile virus to people who are unfamiliar with the virus?
Sure. West Nile virus is a virus that is transmitted from mosquitoes to humans, and it can make us ill in a variety of cases.
Exactly. How did West Nile come about? How long has it been around, and where did it originate?
It originated in the West Nile district of Uganda in 1937, and then arrived in the United States in 1999, New York City, and then spread south into North Carolina and west all the way to California in about 5 years.
Wow.
Very, very fast moving virus.
Do we know how a virus like this first formed in Uganda? I think everybody kind of knows the connection with mosquitoes, but how does a virus like this kind of come to be?
Oh, great question. No one knows for sure, but it's a virus that does well by transmitting between mosquitoes and birds. So it probably starts cycling in mosquitoes and birds, and then at some point the virus was able to infect humans. And so when an infected mosquito bit a bird, got infected, and then bit a human, then humans got involved.
Mm. What are the symptoms of West Nile virus?
For about 80% of the people who get bit by an infected mosquito, their immune system will kill the virus before there's any serious symptoms at all. However, in about 20% of the cases, people will have what's called West Nile fever. And that is a fever, a headache, a sudden onset of neck pain is very common, and very often a rash all over their body. It's very different than like a monkeypox rash. It's a very small red mark, but they can be over a large part of the body that affect the whole body. And fortunately, in only about 1% of the cases, it can get very serious. And these are what are called neuroinvasive, meaning that it gets into the neurological system, into the spinal cord and into the brain. And at that point, can cause everything from dizziness, vision loss, balance problems, and then eventually coma and or death.
Wow. But that is very, very rare, correct?
Right. It's about one out of 100 infections, 100 to 150 infections.
Is this virus similar to any other viruses that are out there?
There's other mosquito-borne viruses, one called lacrosse encephalitis, which is very common in Western North Carolina. In fact, North Carolina has the second highest number of cases of lacrosse encephalitis in the United States. And then West Nile is the second one, and another one called Eastern equine encephalitis that occurs in the eastern part of the state. So these are all spread by different kinds of mosquitoes, and so the disease often follows where the mosquitoes are.
Is this something that doctors and health professionals test for? How do you know when you have West Nile virus?
If you have the milder symptoms, it can be very easily confused with other types of viruses.
Sure.
Summer flu, for example. Once you start seeing neurological symptoms, then most doctors will test what's called an arbovirus panel, which is they will test for West Nile virus, for lacrosse, for Eastern equine, maybe St. Louis or Western equine encephalitis. These are all different encephalites that are spread by mosquitoes, and they all have very similar neurological symptoms. So a person would be tested for those at our state lab generally, and then the doctor would know which virus they're dealing with.
If you are someone who contracts West Nile virus and you don't have the extremely serious symptoms, but enough that you feel sick and don't feel good at all, how is it treated?
Unfortunately, there's no current vaccines. There's some have been in development, but there's none present available for humans. And and there's no specific treatment. Essentially, the doctors are very good at reducing the inflammation and the pain issues that go with it to really try to prevent long-term problems with the disease. However, some people do get kind of a long West Nile that can last for many years, and it's due to damage to their nervous system by the virus.
And that's very rare too, correct?
And again, about 1 out of 100 infections.
Gotcha. What is North Carolina's history with West Nile virus? Has it ever gotten real bad in North Carolina?
Compared to the Western United States, it has not gotten really bad. And we're very fortunate here because of that. Here, it tends to show up in one case or another in all over the state, and it's really not predictable. The only prediction that we have is there's some very good West Nile years, meaning we see very few cases, and then other years like this year where we see a lot more than normal. Right now, we have four, possibly a fifth case, and that represents probably 400 or 500 infections in the state presently. And so this is it's the best defense is when we have early warning symptoms or early warning indicators for the disease, then it's best for people to take measures at that point.
You mentioned 4 or 5 cases, but that represents, you know, a few hundred infections. Explain that. Does that just mean there are probably people out there who have it who have not been diagnosed?
Right. It's so people have had it and their body kills the virus very quickly, and so they really didn't know they had it, or they feel terrible for an afternoon. They get better and life goes on. It could be that. It could be people who get this West Nile fever and don't get tested for it, but are sick for 3 or 4 days and then recover. And again, they're fine too. It's just when people get these neuroinvasive or serious neurological problems that it does get reported.
Gotcha. I hate to ask them, but the folks that you have confirmed cases for, does that mean that they do have serious cases, the 4 or 5 here in North Carolina?
Yes, that's true.
Gotcha. How do folks prevent contracting West Nile virus?
Several ways. The first line of defense is mosquito repellents. That is the mosquitoes that spread West Nile actually prefer to bite birds. So they're not very interested in human beings. Any of the EPA approved repellents will repel them, and you don't get bit, you don't get infected. So we'd suggest, you know, keeping a can in the car, keeping some on your, you know, on your back porch, pretty much anywhere where you're going to spend time outside. That's the first defense.
Gotcha. Is there anything else you'd recommend for people to do, or is the easiest way just to make sure you keep those mosquitoes away?
That is probably the easiest. The second is make sure that mosquitoes are not growing in your yard, or you're not harboring adult mosquitoes from your neighbors or, you know, the pond down the street. And doing that is getting rid of any standing water, any water that sits for more than a week. And that could be even in your gutters or in those black downspout extenders. Those are great places for mosquitoes both to grow, lay their eggs, and to hide during the day. The third thing is vegetation. If you keep a lot of air movement in your yard, trimming your bushes so there's airflow. Mosquitoes like cool, wet, close to the ground. And so if you can remove those conditions, you'll have fewer mosquitoes in your yard. That's the second defense. The third is a community-wide of a control method. And many of the communities in North Carolina have very good mosquito control programs. And so they collect mosquitoes, they have them tested, and then they can spray with an EPA-approved adulticide that kills the infected mosquito. Because once there's an outbreak going on, then the only real way to stop it is to kill the mosquitoes that are infected right now. And the only way to do that is with one of these adulticides.
I hate to get into the weeds here, but if you are somebody who contracts the virus, is there any way to prevent yourself from becoming one of those very, very severe cases that could result in potential brain damage?
To seek care quickly, because if the doctors can reduce inflammation early on, then you have a much better prognosis.
Is there enough of a buffer period where you can determine, hey, this is more than the common cold, and I've got something extremely serious? Does that make sense? Where, you know, you've been sick a couple of days. How long should people give it before they say, I should probably go see the doctor?
I'm not a physician, so I can't give specific advice, but as soon as someone starts experiencing anything with neurological issues, dizziness, loss of balance, extreme neck pain, then calling your physician would be the best option, and they can take it from there.
That's when it's no longer, hey, this is a cold that I'm going to beat, right?
Right. The sudden onset of neck pain and a rash, for example, would be clear indicators.
Gotcha. Any reason why in September here of 2022, we're seeing the virus kind of have an uptick here in North Carolina?
Yes. What we've seen historically across the United States is that mosquitoes, the virus grows, and the mosquitoes grow at sort of an ideal temperature. And we're hitting those temperatures now. So that's one reason, the temperature is ideal. But the second important thing is that this combination of dry conditions and then heavy rains and then dry conditions and heavy rains are very conducive to grow this mosquito that spreads it. And so if we get a lot of rain, it's opposite of what most people think. We think, oh, if it get rains every day, then you have lots of mosquitoes. Actually, that will flush a lot of the mosquitoes out, and you know, they'll die on the ground. But when you have a heavy rain and it fills up that tarp in the backyard, or the buckets behind the shed, or the gutters that haven't been cleaned for a while, or the downspout, you know, in the corner of your yard, and that water sits for 2 or 3 weeks, then the mosquitoes just start brewing in those water pockets. And a lot of mosquitoes can mean a lot of transmission.
Gotcha. I had one more symptom question that I thought of that I wanted to make sure I asked you here. Is there any rhyme or reason why some people do end up with a severe case? I know when we talk about COVID-19, a lot of times it was the elderly folks who got it the worst. Any reason why West Nile hurt some people so badly?
Mosquito bites are very interesting in that they will affect different age groups. So West Nile does most damage to people in 50s and over. So elderly people, anyone of late middle age and up, have more likelihood of having a neurological problem with it. With their other diseases, oddly enough, though, like LaCrosse encephalitis, it mainly affects children under 14, and they're the ones who have the most severe symptoms. So if you're in the western part of the state, you need to watch for children mostly, any type of neurological problems with children, and see your physician quickly. And anywhere else in the state, then West Nile is more likely, and again, more likely in people in the 50s and over.
I know the Department of Health and Human Services put out a press release about this, kind of warning the public about it. How concerned do folks in North Carolina need to be about West Nile?
I wouldn't say need to be concerned or to worry about it, but do take action. As I mentioned earlier, you know, wear DEET or another approved repellent. EPA has an excellent site that you can go to. I'll just put in EPA repellents, and you can find that. Number one. Number two, clean your yards so you aren't growing mosquitoes. And number three, if you have a mosquito control program in your area, you can contact them to assist.
Mike, anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
Just thank you for the opportunity to share this information.
Well, I definitely learned something. I appreciate you taking the time, sir. Mike Doyle, sir, State man. Public Health Entomologist here in North Carolina. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks City Podcast to Jamie Bull. Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.